What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I'm speaking with the journalist, the columnist, Beppe Severnini, whose new book, Italian Lessons, takes us through the plague, the epidemic, the pandemic, the overwhelming crisis of 2020. But Italy is very, very ancient compared to the United States. And it is casual to go back several hundred years just reflecting upon a building you're standing in front of. We now go to the fact that the Severninis come from the land, as many people do in Italy after the Roman Empire receded and stopped building roads. They come from the land so much that Beppe's wife notices he only likes paintings with green in it. Why is that, Beppe?
I don't know. I find green comforting, and I bought green paintings in Russia, in the United States. I'm not an art expert. I like the color green in painting. I realize that, 90% of my paintings are green. I think it's something in my DNA, probably. We found out in the parish church of this place called Lofanengo near Crema that the Severnini were farmers already in the early 16th century, like 1520. And everyone is a farmer, and every generation, one of us is allowed to do other things, like me. I'm a writer and a journalist, but my son is also a farmer, and he also has opened a restaurant on the River Lake, but he's also farms and takes care of the land. And it's something really, I like it. You know, my free time, I don't go to Monte Carlo. I don't like to do I'm a reasonably well journalist in Italy, and some of my colleagues like to go into a sort of posh places around the Mediterranean, Monte Carlo or wherever. Not me. I like to, my free time, I stay in my countryside. I love it. I think I brought up the countryside and the importance, the attachment that many Italians feel towards the land, because it's one of our strengths. The book is built about 50 things we know about life now. I could call them lessons. I'm not saying at all that Italy is the best country in the world. I will not say that. But I can say that we have a few things that can be useful to the other countries and other culture. Things we do really well. Our like strong points. And I'm sure an American could write 50 things we know about life now in America, and the British and the French. I've been writing books as a journalist about 50 things we get wrong. But I was so happy during the pandemic to sit down and write about things we are good at and we could teach. Why not?
Your father was born in 1917. This is Angelo called Gino. His parents were at the time is unable to cope with the Spanish flu as everyone else. And you write that all they could do was throw their hands up and leave him by himself to live or die. He lived and he became a notary, but also a man who likes houses, who likes to develop, who likes to imagine. And that takes you to Sardinia. Introduce us to Sardinia, Beppe, because I know during the worst of the pandemic, it was one of the parts of Italy that was always seen as virus-free until it wasn't. It was white for a long time. Where is Sardinia, and who travels there for vacation?
Well, Sardinia is a big island in sort of west of the Italian boot. And sort of Sicily is at the bottom. There are two big islands, Sicily at the bottom, as you know, and Sardinia further north on north and west of Rome, let's put it this way. And it's very ancient, geologically ancient, linguistically ancient. And it's fascinating. It's got the most amazing beaches I ever seen anywhere. Believe me, I travel the world. I've been to, I think, 98 different countries. I worked out the other day, and I never seen to, but it's not easy to reach. But once you're there, you can see old people. Their language comes straight from Latin, not through Italian. So that the language in Sardinia is, they say, for instance, to say big, they don't say grande, as we say, they say mannu. Mannu comes from Latin magnus. And so on and so forth. They're really interesting people. And they're also very welcoming. Tough, a little touchy sometimes, but I love them. It's my favorite region apart from my native Lombardy. Yeah. And if I may add something about my father. My father, yes, he survived the Spanish flu. And he lived almost 100 years. He passed away in 2016, and he was born in 1917. And he really loved the land, his place, and houses. As he loved building houses, selling houses, not to make money. He just loved the idea of spending time with carpenters and painters, and he would straighten nails. He loved to do that. I could hear bang, bang, bang. And it was my father, a lawyer by training. He loved straightened nail. He hated to waste anything. Time, things, energies, talents.
Let's note about the work on the houses that you write that Gino liked to watch the painters or watch the roofers. And that brings us to manual work in Italy is regarded as an art form. These are artisans. They're treated specially as opposed to in terms of class circumstances. Is that correct? Is that what I understand, Pepe?
It's correct. I think the artisan, a good painter, a good plumber, a good carpenter in Italy enjoys a special status. People take them extremely seriously. My father taught me to have great respect to people who could think with their hands, he used to say. Think with their hands. And he say, I'm a lawyer. I think with my head. I think with the hands is good. It's the same. And some of them are better than me. Some of them are real genius. And if you read most of the books about Italy written by American or Germans or British or Dutch or, you know, in Tuscany or Umbria or whatever, they are full. They're almost adoration, complete in awe of the local plumber. Of course, if he's in his early 30s and he looks like George Clooney, maybe an American lady writing a book is even more interesting in the subject. But it is true that it's every foreigner comes to Italy has to deal with, you know, rebuilding a house, refurbishing, has to deal with these people, like work people, artisans, and he's surprised by their craftsmanship, by their style, by the inventiveness, and some of them are artists. I don't have anything else to say.
Because their artisans are celebrated, we're going to turn to what it is to be Italian. Beppe teaches me that there are five F's we have to, starting with family and heading to fashion. When we come back, we're also going to tour the great Italian cities because they break down into themes, theatrical, or narrative, or poetic. The book is Italian Lessons, 50 Things We Know About Life Now by Beppe Serenini. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.